Welcome to the Dad's Night podcast, where ridiculous becomes reality. We're your dad hosts. I'm Chris Parrish.
And I'm Tommy Reed.
Today we're joined by Anjay and Gaspar Kopitar, along with their dad, Matt. We'll talk about growing up in Slovenia and the transition to the U.S., being an L.A. Kings legend, and their favorite things about Manhattan Beach. We're going to drink a bunch of beer, we're going to taste test some mustard, and we're getting ready for Labor Day. This podcast is brought to you by the Believe Network.
Gosh, that music never gets old.
You love that intro music.
I love it. I'm ready to party. Oh,
yeah. You look ready to party, buddy.
Let me tell you, I think we're here with the right people, too, to party.
We are here with the right people. I can't help but notice I don't have an open beer in front of me right
now. Well, let's get to something's brewing right away.
Let's do this first. Let's mix it up a little.
I mean, so, folks, we have a special beer that was flown in by the one and only Anjay Kopitar. It's called Lashko. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And also known as the Horny Goat by Amir Foligar, a friend of the pod. So this is how it sounds opening
Wait,
up.
What just happened? Ooh,
oh,
nice.
Man, there it is. So, Chris, do you have
Thank
yours?
You, sir.
There's your,
I do
there you
have
go.
It now.
So let's, the Slovenian cheers is Jivrli.
Jivrli.
Jivrli. There
you
it
and
is.
Me, buddy. Here's
so Jivrli to everyone here today.
Cheers.
Matt,
cheers.
Gaspar,
cheers.
Anjay.
Green can.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers to Lashko.
Yeah. Let's have a taste.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm in.
So
that.
These are tall boys that Anjay brought
talls.
Over. Slovenian beer. It is cold and delicious.
It's ice cold. It's tremendous.
So this Something's Brewing is brought to you by Lashko, the Slovenian beer, also known as the Horny Goat to by Mir Foligar. Okay. So there we go. So very excited. Chris, some major things going on here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to jump right into our three dubs. Okay, so here we go, guys. Where are you going? What you doing? And what are you excited about, Chris? Brought to you by Postal.io. Hey, dads, what's the easiest way to delight your customers and prospects? Sending one-of-a-kind corporate gifts, of course, with Postal's offline marketing software. Postal helps companies to create meaningful connections at scale while tracking all your CRM. Chris, what are you excited about right now?
Number one, Tommy, I got to say this, and I wanted to wait till we're on air. Your readings lately have just been tremendous.
You know, it's fall.
And
things
I know
happen
you're a Hollywood guy. You're an artist. You are hopped up. You're doing a great job on this. Thank you for that.
Well, you
it's
know,
it's an honor to sit here and listen to you do that reading.
Thank you. Let's give more thanks. Let's give thanks to our FOPs.
Yeah.
Because Postal and Get Maine Lobster are coming together. Folks, this is it. Mark Murrell from Get Maine Lobster, the owner, was at our dad's night. He met Anjay. Super excited to have the Kopitar family in here today. The first five FOPs that email Alex at postal.io, that's A-L-E-X at postal.io, will get a free Get Maine Lobster kit.
Yeah.
So the first five, all you got to do is put in Dad's Night Lobster Kit. Boom. You're going to get a $150 lobster kit sent to your house in America. We're giving back to our FOPs. Thank you, Postal.io, and thank you, Get Maine Lobster. So there it is, the first five. Once this gets released, check it out. We usually try to blast it on text messages, but if you guys follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you'll get the alert.
Yeah.
Get in there, listen to it, and then boom, hit that email.
I hit submit on this thing on the Believe Network. And then all of a sudden, the numbers just start going up. Like, if people have been subscribing,
yep.
You're getting this thing downloaded right away, it's an honor.
It's fantastic. And yeah. We are America's, soon to be America's number one podcast. But
yeah.
Manhattan Beach is definite number one podcast. Well,
there's no doubt about it.
So, very excited.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Chris, I'm super excited.
Yeah.
I'm going to Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, let's just get this out of the way.
For the Ohio State football game against Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically me versus my dad. My dad played football for Notre Dame. God rest his soul up in heaven. Dad, I love you. I got rejected from Notre Dame. I want to crush him. So what am I doing? I'm taking my son and brainwashing him to becoming a Buckeye. As nothing better than watching Ohio State win a night game in the Shoe in front of 118,000 people. That's right. 118,000 people.
Yeah.
A live football game at night.
Mm-hmm.
Scarlet and gray all the way. So it's a 14.5 point spread. I'm taking the points.
Of course.
We're going to crush them. I think we're going to win by 28.
Really?
I think we're going to go in the 40s. We average 42 points a game. I think we're going to score 45.
You got the Heisman front runner, I would say, right?
Heisman CJ? Three. We have three Heisman front runners. Right. CJ Stroud, the quarterback, Travion Henderson, the running back, and Jackson Smith Najigba, the number one wide receiver.
He had a big Rose Bowl.
Huge Rose Bowl. Those are, like, I think, three out of the top 10 NFL prospects coming out.
Yeah.
Anyway, very excited, taking the family for the first time to Columbus, all of them. Don's actually been there, but we lost to Oklahoma that time. So this is a payback. There it is. It's not an O school we're playing. We're playing an ND. We're 4-0 our last four games against them. We're going to crush.
When was the last time you played Notre Dame?
In the Fiesta Bowl. My dad was alive in 2008.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and that's when Brady Quinn was playing A.J. Hawk, and we crushed them there. I think we had in the 40s again, and they had 20-something. So we're going to crush. Sorry about that, but very excited. It's a fall episode. It's football all the way. I'm pumped up.
You are clearly pumped up, my friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris, what are you excited about? What do you got going on for Labor Day?
You know, we're just doing a little of this, a little of that. We got Michigan at 9 a.m. on Saturday playing. You know, that's fine. I'm going to edit in a lot of fanfare in this. It's going to sound like we got 40 people cheering.
The horny goat speaking over here.
Hey, you guys were all witnesses to how respectful I was when he was talking about Ohio State. So it's my garage. We're doing that. My buddy, it's his birthday on Monday, so we're going to a little barbecue on Monday afternoon. His name's Brian Hoare.
Yep, Nico Hoare.
Yeah, Nico Hoare. So we're going to the Hoare House.
Great athlete.
On Monday for that. And then, you know, just sort of chilling.
Is he an FOP? Is he listening to the pod?
Brian, yeah, he does.
Good.
Yeah, he's a very handsome, busy man.
He is a very handsome man.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
And, you know, we're doing that. And then, you know, starting next Tuesday, it's AYSO season. We're going to have practices and all that fun stuff. And we get into it, man.
Well, let me know how the barbecue goes at the whorehouse. That said, Monday is Grayson's birthday. So we're coming back from Columbus. We're going to be on the beach. We're going to have a flag football scrimmage. I paid some coach to come out and give them some lessons.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. So Monday, we're going to be on the beach and drinking it up.
Mm-hmm.
Birthday party, celebrating an Ohio State victory. And for all you gamblers out there, take the points. We're going to crush the 14.5 points. That's it. You owe me money. We're giving you free lobster kits. Thank you very much. That's from Tommy the Teaser and Parlay Parish. Don't bet Michigan. They always like somehow miss the coverage on the points. So that's my two bets for the week, everyone.
We have a good track record of being right on this stuff.
I'm sweating. I'm excited.
You are sweating.
A great friend of mine is come in here. I've been begging him to do the pod. He said I'll do it on my off season. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Anjay Kopitar. Yay! Thank you. Anjay, who are the special guests that you brought with you today?
Well, my dad, obviously, and my brother Gasper. So we're going to have some fun.
There we are. We are definitely going to have some fun here. We have Matt Kopitar and Gasper Kopitar.
We got mustard. We got hot dogs I'm looking at.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had dinner. I'm drinking Slovenian beer.
This is great.
This is really my destiny.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Absolutely nothing. But I can tell you what, we're going to have some good stories here. What was it like making the transition? You were the 11th pick overall, and you were 19 years old when you came over to the States for your first year in the NHL?
Yes, I was 19 years old, and I have just done a stint in Sweden for 2 years. So I moved from Slovenia, moved when I was 17, a kid, pretty much clueless. You move on your own to Sweden, which was kind of scary at first, but I was so focused on hockey that I didn't really think outside the box. So for me, it was a easy transition. For my parents, not so easy because they saw the big picture and how stuff can go wrong. Unfortunately, it
when
didn't.
When you're 17, everything goes wrong.
Yeah. So I was in Sweden for 2 years and then came over here, made the team right out of camp, and been here for 17 years now, going into 17th season.
Matt, what was it like when Anjay got the call to go to Sweden and he's 17 years old and you basically still have a teenager?
Oh, a lot of things before that happened, you know, because we had a youth Olympic in Slovenia, and Slovenia is not really top six in the world. So we as a host, we had the sixth spot in the team, and the kids under 16 played against Sweden, Finland, Russia, Czech Republic, and I don't know who was the sixth team.
Switzerland.
Ah, the Swiss.
So it was a tough tournament, but our guys respond really well, and Zhe played well. So the people start chasing me, the agents and all this kind of stuff. They start chasing me on the Blade Arena, and finally Lars Cederström, he became the most serious guy I talk with, and he was in that time really connected with Mats Hallin, who was GM in Södertälje in Sweden, which is north, like 100 kilometers northern from Stockholm. And we decide really quick, actually, we all knew what Ange wants, and he wants to be a hockey player. So the really good chance came up, and it was tough time for especially for Ange, of course, because like he said, he was by him own on Sweden in different country, different language, without driving license, you know. But he had only one goal in his mind, you know, and that was hockey, to be successful in the game. Then us, when we realized that, it was in Klagenfurt Airport, when he walked down from the building to to the plane. That was really tough time for us. Since then, everything went smooth.
That's great. Gaspar, how old were you at that time?
I think I just turned 12. Yeah, 12.
Were you just like watching and praying that he could get to that stardom at that time?
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, it was tough. I mean, I had a brother that took care of me, even with the age difference wasn't in our favor with 5 years. I mean, him being 17 and me being 12, I'm sure I was a pain in his ass the whole time.
He's talked about that extensively.
Yeah. But he took me everywhere, so it was hard, but yeah. We obviously didn't see the big picture at the time, but we were just happy that he moved out of Slovenia, which wasn't developed in hockey as it is right now, especially with the technology and everything, like my dad said. Communication was tough. If you guys remember MSM Messenger and the dial-up internet. It was
getting a CD for 2 hours of AOL.
And sometimes we'd be frozen on each other's screens for an hour trying to establish a connection and talk to talk to each other. But yeah. Sometimes it didn't go, but I remember we went to visit him with my mom the first time when he left in like July, and we went up in August, so it was great to see him then. And then around Christmas time, he came home, and then saw him again in February. So it wasn't that we were apart at all times, but it was still hard. Especially leaving, it was always hard.
That's the one thing, too. It's just the two of us, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like you can fall into, like, the other sibling. And my parents are both single children. So there's no nephews and nieces, no nothing to fall back on. You know, thinking back now and a few years ago, and, you know, when you kind of have your kids and everything, it's, for me, it was the easiest thing really to do because all I was thinking about was hockey.
Yeah.
You know, I had the apartment that, you know, the team gave me and everything. I wasn't old enough in Europe to have a driver's license. So they gave me a nice bike, which I rode around the city for a little
like
bit.
Like a bicycle
too.
Or a motorcycle?
No, bicycle.
Oh,
bicycle.
My gosh,
No.
That's not that cool. All
right. Yeah, so I remember one time I went for dinner, and the bike ride was about 35 minutes. So I went for dinner, almost fainted because I was so hungry. Had dinner, came back. I was hungry again because I was riding the bike for an hour and 15. So that, you know, that would kind of hit you too. Or the biggest pain in the butt was really doing the laundry because you don't have the laundry. Like I didn't have it in my apartment. Right. We had that, you know, the unit.
You got to go downstairs
in the building.
And
you're 17. No one does laundry at that time.
I was 17. And the kicker is too is you don't really know the schedule, right?
Yeah.
And the laundry room you have in there for 3 hours. So once the 3 hours go, you can't go in to go pick it up. It's like have to wait for the next person to fob the thing to prop open the door again. So you got to be like on point. So the only time I get the laundry times was Sunday morning at 6 to 9 a.m. So you got to set your alarm at about 5:50 to get
Jesus.
in do the laundry, to have underwear. get up to the apartment, wait for about 45 minutes for a couple loads to finish, race back down to hang them, dry hang them all up. There was no, you know, dryers and nothing. You know, you hang them all up, set your alarm again, go pick them up, and that's what it was.
Yeah. How did you get into hockey? I mean, it doesn't seem like Slovenia is a big hockey country, and I understand that Matt played hockey, so is that where you got the passion from? Like, how did you start playing, and when did you start playing?
Oh, that was the easiest thing for me, actually, to choose hockey. He was a hockey player, and he was a rock star back home. Back then, obviously, times were a little different, and he couldn't leave the country until he was 27, I believe, and at that time, I was 5 years old already, and now I wouldn't be able to leave, too. Now being a dad and seeing the picture, right? So he didn't leave, thank God, but he was an absolute rock star back in Slovenia. So for me, it was the best. I mean, forget the WWE or anything. I was watching his old tapes at all time. I kid you not. I could turn the game on mute and just commentate, but by the exact words that the play-by-play guy would do it.
Oh, wow.
That's so
not
cool.
not even a question.
You weren't wearing a helmet back then.
Oh, we were the helmet.
You did.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that. I'm not that old yet. But
no, I'm just checking. You're not like Pete Carbonell.
No,
or anything,
no.
But.
I was young. I was young dad, actually. Okay. I didn't turn even 22 when he was born. So.
Okay.
And then why we have, in that point, I can say, you know, why we decided to have another one after a few years, you know, because we were both single. And I said, that's really not fair. We don't know how to have brothers or sisters. And, you know, don't let him do the same, go through the same thing. So that's why we had another one. And, that's how it is pretty much.
So you're 17. You play over in Sweden for 2 years. Then the NHL draft happens. Were you part of the NHL draft? Did you watch it from Slovenia? Like, where were you when you got drafted? Were you with your family?
I was not. The leagues in Europe happen or start up a lot earlier, about 2 months earlier than here. And
start in August, right?
Correct.
Same as soccer.
Yeah. But like early August.
Yeah.
So I had a little bit of a bad luck, but in 2005, we had the full lockout, right?
Yep.
So everything pushed back. So my draft day was July 30th, which I was already in Sweden getting ready for the next season in Sweden. So it was kind of cool in one way. Obviously, I would have loved to spend it with my family or be at the actual draft, but I didn't end up going because it was held just in like a – I think it was a hotel ballroom in Ottawa. So
was it even televised?
It was televised, but it was very, very basic. There was only about 15 guys there. Wow. Nothing like you see now.
Now, where they make a big event out
exactly.
of it.
Exactly.
Okay. That's
crazy. It was just because of the lockup. It had to happen, and it did. And, you know, that's what it was. But the cool part about it was our team in Sweden, we had three or four draft eligible guys. So the team kind of threw us a watch party.
Nice.
Oh,
so
that's
that
awesome.
Was, you know, kind of, I guess, good substitute for not be able to be with these guys. And, you know, so it was kind of cool. So when I got the call, it was pretty special.
Did you care, or were you just like, LA, that's awesome, or you didn't really know anything about it?
Nah, well, that's a bit of a story, too. The year before, I was playing, as a 17-year-old, I was playing the World Championships. So I was the only guy with the cage on. Like with
old
playing
man.
Against Draper and then Joe Thornton, those guys.
Wow.
Against Team Canada and US. So then I actually had a meeting with Doug McLean, who was then the GM of Columbus Blue Jackets. They had the number 6 pick, and you know, with all these scouting reports and all that stuff, they had me projected as going number 6. So I sat down in Innsbruck, Austria, in a hotel lobby, and long story short, he told me by the end of the meeting, so-called, or interrogation, whatever, he said, if you're still on the board, we're picking you.
At number six.
So I was, you know, deeply convinced that when number 6 rolls around,
gosh.
You know, I was ready to stand up and shake hands and all that stuff. So then they pick a different guy.
No.
And then it's like, okay, what's going on? And then 7 goes by, 8 goes by, 9 goes by. And at that point, I was like, somebody, please. Like, somebody.
Right.
So then 11, L.A., they picked my name, and I'm very happy they did.
Do you ever take hockey out of it just to be in a given year the 11th best at anything? I cannot imagine.
Listen, it hit me big time maybe a few days after. I mean, at this point, you're still a first rounder, so you're number one choice of the team.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's, listen, that's awesome.
Your debut, you scored 2 goals. Your first game, your first year in the NHL, your first game, you scored 2 goals. The next game, your second game, you score 3 points, right? Right out of the bat, 5 points in 2 games. This was starting the trajectory for your amazing career that you've had.
Yeah. I mean, dream start, to say the least. I mean,
and then
slow down
later,
I slowed down a little bit after that.
Well,
so
you still, I think you finished 3rd as a rookie that year in most points.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great start for me. It was one of those where, I mean, I was watching those guys in 2004, the Salt Lake Olympics, right?
Right.
Yep. Sorry, 2002.
2002, Park City.
Apologize. Correct.
Yeah. Salt Lake, Park City.
It was one of those where it's like, oh my God, Rob Blake and Joe Sakic, like all these guys, right? Are how cool would it be just to, at that point, take a picture with the guy, right? Or meet him or anything. You know, fast forward 4 years, I'm sitting right next to Rob Blake in a locker room, which is surreal. So at that point, you just kind of want a sense of, I guess, you want to be comfortable, and then you want to get a sign that you kind of belong with these guys, because it's so surreal that you're not sure whether this is going to happen or not. And that first game, I guess, scored a couple goals. We lost the game, but I scored a couple goals. To me, was
you belong.
I thought at that point, I was like, okay, I can really do this with the big boys, obviously.
Yep, that's awesome. Yeah. That's so exciting. You will now go on and win the cup, where you had this amazing run in 2011-12, where you go 16-4 in the playoffs.
This was we got to back that up about 20 games left in the season, because we were in 10th place. We weren't even in the playoff picture.
Oh, wow.
Not even very on the outside looking in.
Did you guys make trades at that point?
We made a trade for Jeff Carter. That was the big acquisition. In the offseason, before the season, we traded for Mike Richards, which was huge, who was a very exceptional player at that time. So that automatically, like, raises the expectations and the level of just the quality, really. And then, God, you guys got me all screwed up with that.
The beers are just opening, folks, here. We're just having a good time.
Three Slovenian beers open.
20 games back, the playoffs start. You got Carter coming in, Richards.
So we got Jeff Carter, who was obviously a great acquisition. And then 20 games left, we're not in the playoff picture. And we had to go 15-5 just to make it in.
Wow.
We go 16-4 just to be sure. But then we knew right at the start of playoffs, we're essentially the hottest team going in.
Yep.
And then it was the best part, because we got the President's Trophy winner in Vancouver, and we didn't very much like each other. So,
and Vancouver never wins anything. So,
let's so just be we, real. So we went out there and won first couple games. And then, yeah, we just kind of went rolling from that. That was kind of like one of those. It was like, okay, we can do this.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
we're
you guys got hot and you stayed hot.
I mean, Jonathan Quick at that time, whoever had Jonathan Quick was winning, because he was literally single-handedly winning
this
game.
Well, that's what Greener said when he came in. He said, we literally at the time had 3 of the best position players, and that was you, Drew Doughty, and Jonathan Quick at their positions, and then you guys were on fire. Yeah. You three set the momentum for the team, and you just kept on going in there. I'm going to fast forward. Well, actually, no. I want to know, what did you do when you won your first Stanley Cup? What happened when you had the 24 hours with it? Where'd you go? What'd you do with it?
24 hours. Yeah, I mean, I got a little bit lucky because it was only me and Slava Voynov, who's Russian. So he had it first in Russia. And then Slovenia is such a tiny country. We don't have any LAX over there. Or LAX is over there. So there's one airport, right, and there's not very many flights.
Yeah.
So I got it the afternoon before my actual 24 hours. So the afternoon, I brought it to my grandparents' house. It was like it's a mountain house, and we just brought like the family together and very few, very, very close friends. And we had the cup at the house, and we were just
drinking out of it, enjoying it,
shooting the shit, drinking out of it. And then the best part is, like, the cup keepers are always with the cup. So then when you run, you know, out of stuff to talk about, you just give them the floor.
Yeah.
And then they tell every single story that,
really?
That happened.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, so it's just... it's almost like a big education on what the cup itself,
the history.
We need you
to win one more, because back then there was no bar 5-3-3.
You're right.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
Oh, I am imagining it right now.
I'm trying to imagine Gasper drinking out of it.
Gasper, did you
drink out of the cup?
Of course I did.
Yeah! Oh,
that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Gasper's one of my favorite people in the world, folks. Matt, what was it like when your son brought back the first time ever the Stanley Cup to your country?
Well, that was a huge thing, not just for Slovenia, for all our neighbors, because Austria in that time, they never had the cup. Italy, they never had the cup. Hungary especially never had the cup. Croatia. So when we had this big celebration with the cup, I played like my last 5 years in my career, I played in Austria. So the ex-players, they would call me, can we come down and have a photo with the cup?
That's awesome.
Like Austria, they have, not like us, seven rings and this kind of stuff. They have good program. They have a lot of players. Lately, you know, they some of them, no, I'm lying, even before one guy made the NHL, but you know, lately more of them, they come to the NHL, but still that was really huge thing. Good. I mean, in that time nobody really realized, you know, what happened to all of us.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's the first time ever in Slovenia the Stanley Cup has been raised there. You bring it back to your home country, then you do it again, Andrzej. And not only did you do it again, you scored 26 points in that playoff run.
Yeah, we played a few more games.
I mean, I'm sorry.
In that run.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, the tail of the, like, the two ends, like the 12, every series, all four rounds, we were up 3-0. So it's just a matter of time when it's gonna happen. 14, we go down 3-0 to the Sharks and then proceed to win four straight. And then we win three game sevens in a row on the road. And then, I guess, funny enough, I guess the Rangers series wasn't obviously easy by any means, because we had a few overtime games, but essentially it was the easiest series. So, yeah. You know, but it was just, yeah, we did it. Like in 14, when the cup came back home, I think we just enjoyed it a lot more. Because in 12, you don't know if it's going to happen again.
Right.
So you're trying to do a million things in a span of 24 hours. So, you know, we took it to the castle. We took it on the lake.
Wait, time out. The Stanley Cup has been to the castle?
Yeah.
The castle in Slovenia.
Oh.
Not the castle in Manhattan.
Because no, like, that means the Stanley Cup has,
oh,
like,
my God.
Syphilis or something.
Yeah.
I mean, if
that's going to get a laugh from all the FOPs.
Yeah.
If Greener didn't bring it there, then
no,
nobody
did. Exactly.
No, so, I mean, it was the castle on the island, you know, in the town that I live in now, not my hometown. And then I took it to my grandma's grave, too. I wanted to take a picture there. You know, there's just a million things that you try to do. And then a rally in my home village, which was awesome. But then at the end of the day, it's like, oh my God, I've been running around literally all day with this thing. And it gets pretty heavy. By the end of the night, it gets pretty heavy.
They always have that clip when it's like game 5 or 6 in the final, the two guys with white gloves bringing it in. They got two guys and they're wearing a suit for some reason. I'm like, you're lifting the cup while you're dressed up.
They're just so respectful of that thing. So and then obviously a very much after party that goes on and on and on. So what I'm trying to say, in 14, I have done just about everything with it that I really wanted it. So it was like the 14 was way more relaxed.
Yeah.
We spend, when you guys get to Slovenia, you'll see.
Can't wait.
You know, when you go on those little tiny, it's essentially paddle boats.
Right, rowboat, right?
Rowboat, correct, not paddleboard. So we rented two, and we have the cup, and we have...
I saw pictures of it. It's
we have some water, a lot of beer with us, obviously.
Lashko?
Lots of Lashko.
Good.
Lots of Lashko. Some champagne.
Beer.
This is fantastic beer.
Some jet fuel was involved, too, obviously.
We told the story Greeny was on, but like when you had your party last year, and I had met you guys. And I show up with my cooler, and I'm going to get some shitty beer. And Amy's like, dude, why do you got to go with the shitty beer? Like, Tommy's got these drinks and all this stuff. I'm like, listen, I'm bringing some hams. I'm bringing some Keystone Light. I ended up in the corner with some hockey players for an hour and a half drinking tasty beer.
And this is very popular.
How do I get this, by the way?
You don't. You get it from Andre Kopi.
I've tried. Yeah. Trust me, I've tried. It's not happening.
They took the PJ back from Slovenia, and they brought a couple cases with them.
I appreciate that.
So we were, you know, the second one, we were on the boats, and we were just literally on the lake for about 2 or 3 hours and just enjoying. Nobody was bugging us. Nobody wanted to take pictures. So
that's so cool.
The second one was a lot more enjoyable because I didn't have to rush and do all that stuff.
You got to just ask, what was the craziest thing you did with the cup when you had it? Either year. I'm sure the second one, you're probably a little bit more loose with it. Did you like all just take straws and do like a Sharky's thing where you like drink out of it like 20 straws out of beer?
Champagne? We drank
out
of it.
Pasta out of it.
We ate like some chocolate porridge that kids would eat out of it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Obviously, there was a lot of beer in there.
Of course.
The one thing that we really did at the after party is we did a bottle of Jack and a bottle of Coke, and then we all grabbed the straws.
Yes. Yes.
Gozzle down. That ratio was not the greatest, but hey, we got it done.
Gasper's flinching over there. Gasper, were you part of that too?
Maybe.
Matt, were you part of that?
No, I was not.
I love it. I love it. You know, you are now raising two kids. One of them is also playing hockey right now. First off, did you ask him, do you want to do this? Do you like doing this? Are you good at this? And when did you know that he's starting to become a super athlete?
The only thing that I care about right now is when he gets off the ice, he's got a big smile on his face. Yep. So I know he's enjoying it. And I'm not trying to push. I'm not trying to be a coach. I'm trying to be a dad and support and cheer. And yes, give him pointers, of course. Of course. We're supposed to do that as dads, right?
That's our whole thing.
We're supposed to do
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
In life, in hockey, and basketball, and just whatever, you know, they come across at. So, but like I said, the biggest thing for me is he comes off with a smile on his face.
Not only that, he did also have a smile when he won the Super Bowl in SoFi Stadium in the BCS flag football. So
yes, he did.
We just
he
went did. 39 minutes without mentioning BCF, so we're...
I'm just saying, he won a Super Bowl
at
SoFi Stadium.
Yeah.
Andre, you live in, and I mean, I've seen what you do off the ice, and you're so supportive of where you live in Manhattan Beach. You're constantly donating your time to so many different charitable events. You're constantly promoting boys and girls hockey all the time. What is it like to hear parents constantly come up to you and say, thank you. Thank you for inspiring my son and daughter to become a hockey player. We live in Southern California. It's not like the number one place to go play hockey. But now somehow, with like, you know, all the Kings living in the area, there's a big, huge support group.
Well, I think the matter of the fact is, I think we blend as Kings players organization. We all live down here. It's either Manhattan, Hermosa, Redondo, mm-hmm. you know, and this is obviously its own little community in the big city of LA, right? We can all agree on that.
Yep.
And I think hockey players are so very easygoing that when we blend in, I felt like the community of Manhattan Beach, Hermosa, and Redondo, they've kind of adopted us. So I think that's why, especially down here, I think the following, and no disrespect to all the super fans in the Valley and in all over LA, I think these guys can maybe relate a little bit more to us because we're just here every day.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, the fact in 14 that we had the beach parade was, I think,
unbelievable.
Awesome.
It was awesome. So great.
I think awesome. The showing.
I took Grayson there and he was like a year and a half.
You know, the turnout was fantastic. And I think, you know, to your point with all this charity and everything, I think every single guy would tell you that he loves to do it around here. I mean, the people are obviously very grateful and very respectful, too. Love the privacy, you know, because, you know, if you look in Canada, I don't think Connor McDavid can really go for a nice, peaceful dinner. Us in Manhattan Beach, we can go. You'll get the odd good job and good luck tomorrow, but that's to that extent. So for us and the family, it's very relaxed and, you know, very warm, if you will. Very warm environment.
That's great.
Also, temperature-wise.
Yes.
It's better than Edmonton.
Cannot beat that.
Here we go. We are going to do our first ever Midwestern Mustard Off.
Do we have to be passive-aggressive?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We have, hailing from Cleveland, Ohio, we have the Burtman Ballpark Original Stadium Mustard. We have from Silver Spring, Illinois, Beer and Brat Mustard, a gold medal winner.
The Sunshine State.
Okay. Also from Illinois. Actually, no, I'm sorry. This is from Wisconsin, another Midwestern.
Yep.
I can't even pronounce that. Can you try that?
Lager beer.
No, the K word. Can you?
I think it's Slovenian.
Kostinsko.
Yeah.
Kostinsko.
See, no one's going to argue with you.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's German or Russian or...
I think it's...
Is it Wisconsin?
It's from Wisconsin.
It sounds a little bit more Polish, to be completely honest.
Oh, that makes sense. It makes sense.
I was going to say Polish.
Yep.
So we have Kuszko Lager Beer Mustard.
If there's one thing we know on this podcast, we're known for our pronunciation.
We definitely have no interns.
Yeah.
Dusseldorf, also from Wisconsin, a very famous 1897 Coops Mustard from Dusseldorf is a big one. Oh, a big winner right here. The Burtman's Original Great Lakes Dortmunder Beer Mustard. Okay, that could be a winner here. And then the last one, Plockman's Craft Beer Blended Mustard.
Just announced the winner already.
Yeah, I think he did.
Well, let me tell you.
I'm just going to put that one
in my house. Our friend of the pod, Jack Coleman from Medina, Ohio, a suburb out of Cleveland, said, look, guys, it's fall.
I'm sending you a bunch of mustard.
I know Andre's coming on. He's got to try it has to be part of the Slovenians great mustard.
Slovenians love mustard.
Because they like sausages, too.
Yeah.
Okay? Me too. I'm very excited. We're going to have Andre, Matt, and Gasper vote on what they think is the number one mustard.
This is the
so we have six
vote
mustards
of the century
here. Okay.
Right now.
So here we go. Andre, I'm going to put the first one. We're all going to do some tasting here. You can hand out the sausages or hot dogs, whatever you call them, Franks. This is the Burtman's mustard. You gonna dip that in there?
Burtsman.
Okay, so here you go, Chris. You want to get in there?
Sure.
Little Burtman's, little Cleveland.
Yep.
You know, let me tell you, Cleveland's got very ethnic. There's a Slovenian area. There's a Polish area.
In Cleveland, huge Slovenian influence.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of Slovenians.
Really?
Val Kilmer played
most in the United States are in Cleveland.
Yep. Yes. Oh, that one's good. Okay.
That's a good mustard.
So that's the Burtman's. We're going Silver Spring. Here we go. Beer and Brat Mustard.
Ooh, this one's definitely got to have some
ketchup. Oh, yeah, this one's going to have some
ketchup. It's got horseradish in it.
I think it's going to have a little horseradish in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that one.
That's better than the Burtman's.
Oh, see, this is it. I like it. The voting going on.
That's high praise.
I mean, this is champion going on.
Listen.
Okay, so here's the Kuszko Lager Beer Mustard. Guys, the mustard looks like a beer barrel. I mean, like...
I like that. That's why I brought the knife out.
That's already winning right there to me.
It's almost like you don't want to open it. It's too beautiful.
It's beautiful. What do you think of that one?
Oh, yeah. I like it.
Let me try this one. Let me try it.
I don't know.
You try that one, too? Yeah?
No, I'm just kind of eating.
Burtman sitting at number three right now.
Okay, that's good. This is why we're having a mustard off. Cleveland's losing right now. Okay, this one is your Coops Dusseldorf. Okay, well, that one's coming out there. It made a little fart noise.
Harvest of mustard.
Yeah, this is fantastic. It's fall. I mean,
that's
come
your
on.
German strong taste to it.
Strong.
Very nice. Okay.
Okay. What do you, like do you think, Gasper? You're kind of quiet over there.
He's just trying to.
The horseradish is still my front runner.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. With the little horseradish. Yeah. That okay. gets
here
it done.
We go. I mean, so now here's a big one right here.
The winner.
The Burtman's
according
original.
To Tommy, the winner.
Great
better
Lakes.
Be the winner.
Dortmunder, beer mustard. Okay. Here we go, folks.
Has to be.
What do you think of that one? The Great Lakes.
That is.
That one's
good.
A good one, huh?
Yeah,
this is a. I think this is a big. Sir. I think this is a big time. This is a fan favorite and also Gold Winner Award. For the last one, we got a Plaquemines craft beer blended mustard, come also from Wisconsin. So we got Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio. We're gonna start with Gasper. Gasper, your vote for the Midwestern mustard champion. Who is it?
I enjoy horseradish, so I'm going to go with number two, which is
Silver Spring
Beer and Brat Mustard.
Silver Spring Beer and Brat Mustard for Gasper Kopitar. Yep. All right, that's one vote for that. Mr. Matt Kopitar.
I have to say the same taste. I don't know why, but a little sharper. So that's why it's my pick.
Andre?
Yeah, I like a little spice to it, too. So I got to do the same thing. It's the Silver Spring. Edges off Dusseldorf Copes.
Whoa!
Edges off.
Just edges that, huh?
Just but it does. It does.
Wow. Well, it looks like we have majority here. I'm still going to give my vote. I'm going to go with the Great Lakes.
Of course you did.
Dortmunder Beer Mustard.
You just wanted to pronounce that once again.
Dortmunder.
Yeah.
I think they need to become sponsors.
Can you just want to sound smart?
Place for us.
Vlade Klitschko Lager Beer Koshkushko. I have no idea. I'm saying it wrong. What are you talking about? I'm from
for
Jersey.
Sure, that has happened.
That one's good, though. Listen, Jack Coleman, thank you for sending these out. Chris Parrish, your vote, please. Final vote.
The Silver Spring.
That's four.
There's no question about
it. So yeah. I'm the only one that went opposite. Okay. Well, look, it is fantastic, and it's actually Dawn's favorite mustard, too, so she likes that.
And we love Dawn.
We do. Thank you, Jack Coleman. Andre, thanks for growing these up. This is fantastic.
Of course.
I appreciate
anytime.
It.
Coleman makes mustard.
Oh, wait. That's the very hot English mustard?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that really even mustard?
It's more like a punishment.
Yes, it's really. It's like huge.
Yeah. Let's not bring it up ever again.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Jack Coleman, not affiliated.
Nope. We're going to bring this out to the OG himself, Matt Kopitar. What was it like raising two boys that were 5 years apart? How did you do any kind of discipline with them? How did you discipline them? Because they're very well-behaved boys.
Oh, thank you. But different times, different country, village where we lived, you know, our own house, a lot of space around the house. They didn't spend much time in the house. They were mostly outside. Winter, hockey, skiing, all this kind of stuff. Summer, tennis. No flowers around our house in that time because everything went, you know, tennis balls were flying all over. My mom, she knew both garage doors we need to change after when they grew up. A lot of fansters we need to replace. So that's how they grew up, and I'm still a big fan of that the kids, they need to be outside, they need to enjoy, especially here in this beautiful country, in this beautiful weather, as much as they can. Just be outside, enjoy. And to be honest, that's not a cliche. To be honest, we didn't have a lot of problems, you know, raising the bar.
Right.
I mean, I remember my mom used to get upset because my brother and I, like, he's 3 years younger than me. So, like, 6 days a week, we're getting along, playing Transformers, all that shit. And the seventh day, we're just beating the crap out of each other. That's not really true. I won. But, and she would just say, like, my mom was an only child and she never had a sibling. And she's like, I wish I would have had a sibling. And my brother and I, but, like, mom, we're fine. Like, it's just, We've gotten to the point where my brother is like my hero. I love him, and you two are the same. I've watched you both, and that's it. You've done your job, right? Like they love each other. They love to be around each other. Yep.
It's very hard. It's
the best you can do. And we deal with that, you know, too, with the younger kids. I know you do as well. Like my daughter, she's 11, and just every now and then she's just got to pop her brother because he's annoying as shit. But it'll work itself out.
Chris, that's a good point, really good point. You know, maybe the biggest win or the biggest wish or whatever, still now what I'm telling them, as long as you're best friends and brothers and the family, both they have families, as long as they connect well together, I'm going to be happy and mom special. So that's how it is.
You nailed it, because that's not in every household, Matt. That doesn't happen.
That's probably why... how they were raised, and, you know, I always said, you know, what we did all these years, when the girls are coming, you know, they can ruin everything pretty cool.
Yeah, so they can. You're absolutely
that's
right.
That's the truth. That's the truth. So that's, you know, and after all these years, I can be honest and tell that, you know, I'm still very happy because they're still like a family, and they're together most of the time. And they're still best friends, so that's what I really like.
Is it so? You were talking earlier about, you know, you went to Sweden, you get drafted, everybody's going apart, and now you guys are all back here and get to see each other all the time. I wish my brother lived here. How amazing is this for you to sort of just have everybody around?
Yeah, when we decide to come over, because Ange ends up in the big city and he just finished the prime school. And then he stays here. That's how, maybe it's good thing, maybe it's not the best thing. However, you know, it's right now, if we come to visit, we don't need to go to the separate cities. So that's big advantage for us. So we have both of them, one in El Segundo and one here in Manhattan, and that's great.
I think that's awesome. You need to open up another beer and cheers, because my man, Matt, that is a great accomplishment to have two sons that love each other and that are best friends. Ange, I'm going to throw this one at you. How do you instill the values that your dad gave to you into Jakob, into your children, into Nasia?
Communication, really. I think at this point, just, you know, kind of piggyback on my dad is, I think at this point, Nasia and Jakob see me and Gasper being together for, you know, not all the time, but majority of the time. And, you know, there's not very many times that we really got at it. And I'm not talking fighting. It's, you know, when you get pissed at each other somebody's holding a grudge and the other one's holding a grudge and this and that. But pointing that out on how, you know, we're best friends and to make sure that they're still on point. And I got to say, you know, my two beautiful kiddos, obviously I'm on the road quite a bit, and my wife Enos is home.
She's amazing.
She is an absolute rock star. So for her to be home by herself, for especially during the season, for a majority of the time, I mean, she does a
amazing,
absolutely fantastic job. And, you know, when I come home, I'm trying not to screw that up. So, you know, try to.
I mean, you and I were talking at Tommy's in June. Just go for a walk. Spend a little bit of time with your wife. You've been gone. You've been doing this and that. They just want to have some time. It's just, there's not the kids going around and all that stuff. And how helpful that is. You know, my wife and I will sometimes just sit out in the front yard. And she's like, I just want you to just be you and me, not on. You know, because we're successful podcast hosts and a lot of people demanding our time.
You know, just jumping in on that, there was a time where you were on the road. We were waiting to see your 1,000th point that happened, I think, last year, right, Gasper? Or was it the year before? I think it was in 21.
Two years ago.
And Enos came over with the kids. And Gasper, you were over there. And to watch this happen was one of the greatest things I've ever seen, because your brother felt like he just scored his 1,000th point. He was through the moon. He shotgunned a beer in less than 2 seconds. It was like a world record. And like the jubilation that happened was just the most beautiful thing I've ever witnessed. And I see that love that you have in your family. And it's Uncle Gasper that's right there picking up Nasia, hugging her, like, you know, it was just so cool to see. And I think that type of culture that your father instilled the values into you guys is so awesome. And I love seeing that.
I got to say that I'm so very blessed in my life, selfishly, personally, whatever you want to call it. You know, from the very top, obviously, my grandparents, my great grandparents that I remember, my grandparents, my parents, you know, being, I guess, above me, alongside with my wife, my brother, my sister-in-law, you know, and then passing that along to the two beautiful kids, my beautiful niece. It's I'm so blessed. I couldn't ask for any more.
So Gaspar, like, how valuable is it to just your young dad to just be able to like talk to your brother and just be like, what the fuck do I do right now?
Oh, there's been plenty of moments like that.
Because I was on my brother's phone the whole time.
Obviously he went through it, and it was right around when Jakob was born when I moved back from out east, and then just kind of see him and Eunice at work. It helped.
And you're in the thick.
She just turned one.
Okay.
So we're taking our first steps.
That's so
you love
cool.
being an uncle?
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic.
It's the best. You get to have all the fun stuff, and then when you're done, you're done.
You know, as soon as they start fussing up and they start crying,
I'm out.
It's like a quarterback with sore shoulder. Sorry. It's like a nice little handoff.
There you go, yeah, Gaspar.
All right. I've been there before.
My nephew, he just turned 12. And my brother he didn't want to do this, but he got him a phone just so if he's getting a ride home from soccer practice and all this stuff, my little nephew Elliot, who's just delightful. And so he starts texting me, and it's just all the stuff my brother says. Like he's like talking to some game. He's like, we got to throw out the record books. These teams don't like each other. All the shit that my brother and I say to each other, like growing up. And it's just awesome. And then he's also like throwing in emojis. Because I don't know if Android has emojis. I have no idea. But it's just fun. And he's like a reflection of my brother. And it's like my little brother who I watched come home from the hospital. Now he's like a dad with more experience than me. It's just crazy the stuff that we go through. It's awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
His daughter got an iPad. This was 2 or 3 years ago. Her first iPad, maybe 2 years ago. I got a text from it said, you know how when you get it from the email, it says the whole email?
Yeah.
It said, neja.kopitar@gmail.com. I was like, hold on. I called him. I was like, hey, just so you know, your daughter just texted me. He goes, no, I know. I'm sitting right next to her. And I was like, okay. We had a full-on conversation with Asia. It was
awesome. We had today. So Tommy was running around, and then Grayson got dropped off here. And like Grayson and my daughter Lainey used to be like these little things. And now like Grayson's like was like running my son through soccer drills. And it's amazing how quickly they grow up. And it's awesome to watch. So anyway.
It's great. Anjay, what do you like to do in your daddy time?
Take him for ice cream.
Anywhere.
No, I actually, Cold Stone.
So is Uncle Gaspar meeting you at Cold Stone? Tessa?
No.
Chocolate Devotion at the White Chocolate Chips, and I'm there all day.
Wow. No, but other than that, I mean, they're at the age where they like the action. So they're involved with a ton of activities. So I guess if you look at it that way, I'm just their Uber driver. So I'm going everywhere. And, you know.
And you're also the bank. You're also paying for the ice cream. So you're the Uber driver and the treasurer.
That's okay. No, but I mean, I like I said, I love seeing them enjoy and being active and essentially interacting with other kids too, because I fully believe too that they develop obviously social skills through sports, through activities, through, you know, play dates and everything. And you know, I think we've been fortunate enough where our daughters are really good friends.
They're awesome.
So we get to hang out.
Lucky guy.
What's better than that?
You're absolutely right. Anjay, what life lessons have shaped you as a dad today?
I mean, this sounds so cheesy and cliche-ish and everything, but just treat people the way you want to be treated. I mean,
absolutely.
What else are you going to do? I mean, if you're going to be a dick, then guess what? You're going to get it back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to stress...
Way to go, Matt.
What we're trying to stress as much as we can is be kind, be polite, be respectful. And then hopefully, for the most part, you're going to get it back. And it's very enjoyable when you do get it back, and
yeah,
rewarding in some ways, especially yeah, as a parent.
Agreed. You know, I was talking to your dad about the growing up in New Jersey. I come from an Italian-Irish family, and my grandpa would always come over, start making his gravy, put the meatballs in and everything like that. And then we'd have like a 2 or 3 o'clock dinner, early dinner, Sunday family dinner.
Love those.
Man, that's awesome.
And I look at your family, and obviously you're coming from Europe. You have the European culture. We don't have, I feel like, a lot of that culture in LA. And I look at you guys, and I love coming over your house for dinners because I see you cooking. You took up bread making during COVID. You make a hell of a sourdough bread now, to the point where they used Andre's sourdough bread at Dad's night, eating all your queso. Remember that?
And I do remember that. You made that?
That was his. That was Andre's.
But like, right from scratch, didn't last long.
I mean, I love that you do that, and you know, I love that you instill when you do a family dinner, and when your mom comes over a lot, we have like you invite us over, the Folagars over, and you have a nice big, long dinner. And I love that you are instilling your culture into your family out here. I think that's fantastic that you're doing that. Gasper, I got one for you. What's your most embarrassing moment as a dad?
Probably getting peed and pooped on. I mean,
by your daughter or just?
Yeah.
By my daughter, yeah. We'll save that for the after hours, the second.
Well, we'd love to end every dad section with our favorite question, which is, Andre, how do you want to be remembered as a dad?
I want to be remembered that I was there for them, boom, for going to the soccer practices, even though sometimes you land at 2:30 in the morning, yeah, and that might be the last thing you want to do. But I want them to remember me being on the sidelines, yep, and being there. Maybe not being the most obnoxious person in the stands, but I want to be there for them, yeah, literally.
Matt, how do you want to be remembered as a dad?
To be supportive, you know, to support. And I think we did a lot for both of them, not just me, with mom. So the result is here. The result is here. And I think as long as we are friends, as long as we are friends, probably we did some good job.
Nice. You did a good job, I can confirm.
Thanks.
Good for you.
Gasper, how do you want to be remembered as a dad?
Loving, I guess. Supportive. That's about it. Yeah.
Tommy, I don't think we've ever asked you this. How do you want to be remembered as a dad?
Involved.
And you are.
Yeah. I mean, I think a big thing growing up was that I had a lot of friends.
You were ready to this answer. You were ready. That's not fair. You were ready. Involved is a really good thing.
Yeah. And I take it from my dad, who was my best friend at my wedding, my best friend in life. He was my best man at my wedding. A lot of kids hung out at my house. And my dad wasn't the most successful, financially wealthy guy in the world. He was a hard worker, was a stockbroker, and basically stopped working to work behind the scenes of my mom's business to grow her business at nursery schools. And he allowed me to have all the friends over all the time. And he was always very involved. He was the coach. He would embarrass me for being the loud guy yelling, "Come on, Tommy, hit him," you know, whatever, you know, try to make me a tougher kid than I always wanted to be. Make me play dual sports so I can get faster at football, so I could play soccer and all that stuff. And, you know, he would always be there. And he was literally the first guy to watch me throw a punch. He's like, "No, that kid just pushed you down, go up and hit him and break his nose." You know? So like things that most dads wouldn't ever do, he was doing to me. And my friends saw it. So all my friends would come over to my house and want to hang out with the guy. Not their house. Their dads were doing the stockbroker lunches and financial this and all that stuff, trying to be, you know, super wealthy and everything. My dad didn't really care. He was like an old hippie that was a football player that knew he was extremely smart and successful and wanted his success to be shown in his kids' value of growing up. So that's why I say involved immediately, because I think it's very important to have be involved in a dad. That's why I love coaching. That's why I love doing being a part of it. Chris, you love doing that. I know you're
love
very
it.
Involved,
you're right.
Dad.
You're right.
So that's why I would like to be an involved dad. Now, our favorite section, the Friends of the Pod section. This is where we
friends
give out big, big shout-outs to our FOPs.
So, Tommy, I'm going to read this little blurb here.
Because you actually put the correct commas in
I
on
did.
It. Okay, Brooke, you're going to like this one. Here you go,
so,
Chris.
So, Brooke is a stickler for punctuation.
Thank you.
Friends of the Pod shout-outs brought to you by South Bay's luxury realtor, Brooke Billings. Looking for a home to buy or sell in Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, or anywhere in South Bay? Question mark. Look no further, as the one who gets the best results and the most market value for your home is none other than Super Dad himself, Brooke Billings, serving in his hometown, Manhattan Beach, for years. Now,
and he's a very handsome guy, too.
Very handsome guy. And by the way, this is one of my dreams, Tommy. I texted you today. So Brooke sends out his weekly real estate email. And today,
first time,
we are the headline, by the way.
And he's going to get more followers.
He's going to get more followers. He's rolling in money right now after the sponsorship. But we were mentioned in his email newsletter today.
Yep.
He talked about being on the podcast. He was promoting Sarah Kersey.
Great pod.
And I just wanted to be in a newsletter. I feel like that's my destiny.
Well, you know,
Brooke Billings, we love you.
He sponsors our Friends of the Pod section.
He does.
So we have a lot of shout outs. We have a lot of shout outs. First one, we're going to write to Jack Coleman for the mustard. Thank you, Jack. Friends of the Pod, Medina,
thank you, Jack
Ohio.
Coleman.
Appreciate that. We have Brian Heinen, who played football when I was in college at Ohio State, was one of my roommates. So we'd always have the football team over afterwards.
Of course.
We were very popular.
Yeah. Nobody's going to
and
close.
He lives in Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. And we're huge in Spain, the kingdom of Spain.
We're huge in Spain.
We are literally huge in Spain.
Thank you, Brian, for your Spain. I mean, I think we're like 6% of our listeners are in Spain.
6.4% as of this week
of
our listeners are in Spain.
I mean, we're getting thousands of downloads, but thank you, Brian, for your Spanish contingency. We love it. Who do you have shout-outs to?
So I got a couple. Number one, my dad. Today's the 29th. Tomorrow, August 30th, my dad. It's his birthday tomorrow.
Nice.
He's been here.
Happy
He's
birthday.
A friend of the pod. I love you, Dad. I'm going to throw one out. We're thinking of you, Sarah Kersey. She is
best.
In Notre Dame right now in South Bend in Indiana, which is a town I don't need to go to, but we're thinking about you, Sarah.
Yes, we are. Friend of the pod.
Steve Baker, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod, Steve Baker.
Unfortunately for you, went
great
to Michigan.
Dude. Yes, he did. He's
good friend
dude.
Of mine. We're going to be watching the game on Saturday at 9 o'clock.
He wears more Michigan stuff than you do, actually.
Which is crazy.
Because,
but usually he's advising me on where to get it.
You know,
and his wife, Jessica Baker, by the way.
Great woman.
Also makes me a lot of custom stuff, and she's a classy lady. So Jessica Baker, also friend of the pod. Yeah,
see, we were growing. Are we still like 30% female listeners?
No, we're creeping up.
See, the moms are listening. They're dialing
in.
They're in on us right now, Chris.
The moms are setting their watch to this podcast.
I mean, and after Andre's podcast
here?
We might go a little higher.
We have been a running handsome podcast.
He's a very handsome man.
He is.
I mean, look at the dad. Look at the dad.
Stop forgetting Gasper here, though. He's sitting right next to me.
Yes, I mean, but look at the dad.
He's a striking human being. Yeah. Yeah. This is not the Slovenian beer talking.
The horny goat.
I forgot it's the horny goat.
The horny goat.
Who else you got?
Well, of course, we're going to give shout-outs. Look, I'm going to Columbus. We got Brent LeCount. Loves to host and throw big tailgates. We're getting a couple White Castles at Jack Coleman's tailgate.
Like legit White Castle burgers?
Cases. It's good for hours.
Yeah.
It's good for hours.
Because it's already got bacteria in it.
Yeah,
so
you
it
just
got to
pop your Rolaids that morning, keep on popping them. You're going to have that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get it at 8 a.m. and you're going to eat that at 4 o'clock. It's just going to be the best burger at White Castle. Can't wait.
Yeah.
That's really, that's all I got for right now. Keep it going.
I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Matt Smith. A dad at school. He's got 4 kids at school. Big fan of the pod.
Nice.
Told me he loves it this week.
Thanks,
loves
Maddie.
Listening. Maddie Smith. His wife, Summer Smith, is the best orthodontist in town.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Nice. Summer Orthodontics.
Yeah, we're giving her
there
a lot of
go.
Money.
A lot of butt.
We're going to be
good.
Giving her a lot of money. So anyway.
Let's give some shout outs to the moms here.
Yeah.
To your wife, Enos. Amazing woman. Big time friend of the pod.
Big time.
Big time. Gasper, to your amazing wife, Kelsey. Big time friend of the pod.
Big time.
And then Majeka. Is that how you say it?
Matea.
She's
you guys have the same name.
Kush. Yeah.
I've had a lot
she's amazing.
Beer.
She is one of my favorite people. She's just awesome. Big
I've
shout
had a
out.
Lot of conversations, and we hung out a lot. I think today is the first time I'm realizing that you're more American than I thought with your pronunciation.
Okay, listen. It's the Jersey, man. You're going to make fun of me here. But look, let me tell you. If they could follow her on Instagram, she literally has the best Christmas lights that you guys do over Slovenia. She loves Christmas. And like,
we got to go.
You and Matt.
She loves decoration. You know, in our house, like four seasons weather back home, every single change, I can feel it right now.
Oh, I
because
love it.
Because in the house, everything's changing. So we have four seasons decoration.
That's great. Well, we love her. She's great. So, guys, if you guys want to, what are our social handles here? So you can follow
on Instagram, Dad's Night Podcast on Instagram.
Yep.
Email is dadsnightpodcast@gmail.com.
Anjay, what's your Instagram?
Anjay Kopitar, @AnjayKopitar.
Gasper, what's your Instagram?
Z.
Yeah.
Just Gasper Kopitar.
Well, everyone, listen, we really appreciate you guys listening to Dad's Night Podcast. Like it, share it with a friend or two. And listen, don't forget, this podcast, when it comes live, get those lobster kits. Alex@postal.io. The first five people get lobster kits worth $180.
Thank you, everybody.